Hello, everybody. My name is the Gingerbread Man, and I would like to welcome you to my home. I'm really excited to see everybody. We got a great show on tonight. We're going to discuss a lot of really interesting, hopefully meaningful, helpful things. It's been a crazy week. I got to go see an awesome show this week. I went to go see a stand-up comedian named Bert Kreischer with some good friends of mine, one of whom I hopefully will have on the show here soon. But it was pretty cool. I didn't get to do a lot of cool shit when I was younger. I don't know why. I mean, I guess I did have opportunities. I was just kind of lazy. And then a lot of the times it just wasn't accessible to me to go to shows. As an adult, it's just a lot easier. You can go see a bunch of cool shit. And I had my son when I was like 19, 20 years old. And then my life substantially changed. And I've been working my ass off hard ever since. So it was really cool to take this time out and go do this week, being able to go see a show. And it was at Red Rocks. I don't know if anybody's ever heard about Red Rocks or knows where Red Rocks is. It's fucking beautiful. It was so cool. Such a great show. The guy's hilarious. I mean, I think his openers were two other dudes that I can't remember, some grill guy, some other dude who's telling a lot of rape jokes. It was pretty funny, you know? Stands were packed the fuck out, you know? And it was hilarious because, like, my seat got bought a long time after my other two friends had gotten their tickets. So technically, I was supposed to be all the way at the top of the back of the fucking place, you know. But to sit with my friends, I kind of just stole somebody's spot, technically. And we were there early, so we just kind of just took it. And I guess there was already two other people that happened to be in our original spot. So it's just like this fuckery of spot jacking, which is pretty fun. But, you know, so I sat down, and then it turns out I'm sitting in this other person's seat, and then they end up coming trying to claim their seat. And but it was cool because everybody was just so kind about making it work. And even though it was completely packed, I didn't hear many arguments. Even in our section, the guys, two people got there first, like, hey, where are we going to go? But everybody made room. And it was kind of nice to see that action take place in our society nowadays. I know it's very disheartening to think that we're all very isolated and alone. And in a way we are, but it doesn't have to feel extra isolated, extra alone. You know, like, you see really awesome things like this happen where people step out for each other. When my son was little, I was constantly amazed watching older children help him up to get up jungle gym shits and to get to the slides and stuff. It was, you know, and I saw so many. I don't even have one story to tell because it happened countless times where selflessly you'd see a child help another child, you know, and it brings this upward tilt to my heart that makes me feel very good about our species when you see instances of good. And of course, there's always going to be instances of bad, but that's not what we're talking about right now. So, yeah, I got to go to the show, but, you know, Red Rocks is huge. It's one of the most esteemed places to perform at on the planet. And yeah, like, this guy, he broke down at the end of his show because it was just so important to him. And he, like, called out everybody on stage with him, was getting pictures all, and he did it all in front of everybody. It was so public. You know, the dude just has an amazing attitude and outlook on life. So if anybody wants to go look into Bert Kreischer and to see what that's all about, he's fucking hilarious and he's got a lot of jokes and stuff on the books, you know? So before we dig into it, I do have a message from our sponsor. I do apologize. I got to support the show. And so our sponsor today is the Fairness Law Group. This show is brought to you by Fairness. Have you been wronged? Taking on emotional damage due to disagreement or aggression towards your person? How unfair! Contact the Unfairness Law Group at 1-888-955-5555. I hope that's not even a real number. Just dial 15555 because I'm completely full of shit. bring back our book of universal unfair. We'll bring our book of universal fairness to argue on your behalf. Yeah. I'm completely full of shit, by the way. But that's our sponsor today. Anyways, so we're talking about fairness. You know, what is fair? You know, this is an incredibly loaded term. And I've been trying to think about moments in my life that would help me peg onto what this idea and feeling of fairness is. And on the opposite end of the coin of fairness is unfairness. And it often seems easier to see and to point out unfair things happening to you. So I'm going to bring up my magical scale again. So just draw the scale of shades in your head, you know, like where on one side you have something that's completely whatever, left to right. So on one side of the scale is unfair. On the other side of the scale is fair. And of course, my personal philosophy is that within life, any sort of scale that we're playing to, the golden zone to be at is right in the middle. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But right now we're gonna focus on the ends of the scale. So an unfair moment, like what is unfair? Like I feel like the most easily identifiable unfair moment that I could think about off the top of my head right now would be murder. You know, like if you take somebody's life, that is or anything's life to an extent and for some anyways, but to take another person's life to snuff it out, that seems to be the most unfair fucking thing that could happen, especially if it was directed and intentional by a person, you know, going out like, I'm going to take this person's life. That seems real fucked up to me, and that seems to be one of the most unfair things, you know. And then a little bit not as intense on the scale here, we might have lying. And, you know, and then there's different intensities of lying. You have lying that's malicious, where you're trying to deceive and con somebody. And then you have lying that's just like a white lie because you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, or maybe you're tired and you don't want to express yourself fully, so you just tell some bullshit. You know, so that would be a little bit tilted on the half of the unfairness side, whereas murder, you know, or maybe a lot of people even consider adultery, you know, when you get cheated on, that hurts. You know, when an unfair moment happens, there seems to be this physical, vicious sensation. You know, like when I try to think of unfair moments, I feel a tension in my chest, you know, right kind of between my solar plexus in my throat. There's like this tension that tightens up. It feels like there's this little gravity spot in the inside of my spine that clenches, you know, and it kind of hurts thinking back to these moments where an unfair moment has happened. It brings us, it's this breed of anxiety, this disgusting uncomfortability, this feeling when you notice, and even when you notice an unfair moment happen to somebody else, hopefully there's an empathetic link where you feel, you know, like, oh fuck, that's unfair. That's not cool, man. You know, like that's not cool at all. So for me, two personal unfair moments that I can think of. I had a really close friend of mine. I'm going to use the letter K, and I don't even think that's even what his letter starts out with, but we're just going to call him K. And we grew up together from when we were really young. You know, I had a lot of compassion and intense need to take care of this person because he was a brother to me. He was blood to me at this moment. And there's multiple times throughout our childhood that he had lived with me because he had nowhere to go. And he moved to Colorado, and I was like, hey, dude, and I talked to my dad. We were like 20s, you know, I was like 23, 24 at this time, and he was like 22, you know. And I talked my dad into letting a full-grown man live at our house for like 2-3 months, and he didn't pay shit, and he ate all of our food, but it's because I loved the motherfucker, you know. Like, so Kay and me need to get out of my parents' house. So we go and we rent an apartment. We get a really nice 2-bedroom apartment. And like, it just got real fucking weird, you know? And I know this is probably not a new or even unique story. And I hope if you're listening to me that you relate, because I feel you. I know how it feels to have things go weird with a loved one where it doesn't even make sense. There's this confusion attached to unfairness that I see. And so, like about a month in, we got bickering. There's a couple explosive fights, and then we just stopped fucking talking. You know, like he just stayed in his room, and I did my thing, and I basically kept. I cooked. He didn't cook for himself, so I ran the kitchen. I watched TV in the living room. I had my bedroom, you know, and so he basically was just shacked in his room all the time without even a bed. I don't even think he had a bed, you know, and it just like. It was really foul to see a brother of mine struggling like that, and I couldn't even talk to him because we were in this intense battle of, I don't even know, like this almost like this pissing match of, oh, you've hurt me more, oh, you've hurt me more, you know, and then nobody can put that down to even talk to each other. And we got to this point where we didn't talk. And what ended up happening is I go to pay rent one day and I am informed that we are being evicted and I have about 4 days. I have never even seen an eviction notice on the door. And all of a sudden, I am told that we are several months behind in rent because I'd been paying my half of the rent, not talking to him, and he had stopped paying. And then we got an eviction notice and apparently he removed it so that I didn't even know. So I couldn't even prepare. So, you know, they changed the locks and he got in somehow, I think. I don't even know if he ever got in, but I changed the locks, basically kicked his ass out. You know, his room is just a wreck, a pile of shit, you know, and it just was so sad and it felt so unfair because of all of the goodwill that I put in. I had good intentions to take care of somebody I cared about and I felt like they fucked me. You know, not physically, but they fucked me financially. I had to pay out $3,500 to get out of that eviction. And we didn't end up getting evicted because I paid it, but that was all my money. And then I had to move back home with my parents because I had lost my home, you know, because somebody didn't even want to talk. That's the unfair part is, what I don't even know. What is the unfair part? There's several levels, you know. So that's a story of unfairness that I could think of, you know. And then when my son was younger, before I was able to get adequate custody, because I got full custody of my son with discretion when he was about a year and a half old. So between that time, me and his mother were together for a time period of maybe 3 or 4 months that was real shoddy and only in the same home with each other as like a unit for maybe about a month. And all the other time I had hour-long visitations with my boy where I had to be supervised at her family's house, which is just an awful feeling. And then there was 2 4-month sections where she completely kept my son away from me. And that destroys you when you can't see your kid. And when you have an entity, a person that you know is physically making that conscious decision to keep you away from your child, that feels unfair. And that's very far down the unfairness scale, I feel like, too. Especially willingly taking a child away from somebody, you know. And there's always going to be good reasons to move, especially when there's agreements. But, you know, to maliciously do it on purpose so that they can never know their child, that's fucked up. It's borderline evil. You know, so that's an unfair moment I would think of. You know, and what is fairness? Like, on the other end of that scale, those are some unfair moments. What at the fair end, what is a fair moment, really? You know, and I would say moments of just love, when you give unconditional love to a stranger or to even your family, people who are very personal to you, moments of unconditional love, that's very fair. You know, it makes that depression in the chest that's on the other end of the scale uplift. You feel like you're floating, like you're a balloon. Your chest blooms when you see love happen. At least I do. I celebrate other people's love. It doesn't make me, like, when I was younger, I hated romance movies because it'd make me feel shitty because I think about myself, you know, but now it makes me really happy to see people in love and caring about each other. And then it makes me very happy to see people and strangers treat each other just very well. You see amazing things happen, like the children on the playground that I just mentioned, you know, like, and it does happen. And that brings up the word altruism, which altruism is I read this earlier in a commentary on the Tao. It's the opposite of egoism, which is kind of like for me. This is for myself. This is my material, whatever. So egoism is to suit the ego. Altruism would be the opposite of that, which is where you are serving others unconditionally, not for the self. You know, the fruitful labor is not received fruitively, not accepting them, not looking at the why, just doing it. You know, that would be altruistic behavior. You know, so at the root of all these fairness and unfairness things is interpersonal relationships. We're interacting with somebody else who we may know or may not know. We may get fucked over by somebody we do know. We may get fucked over by somebody we do not know. And the opposite of that as well. We might see amazing things happen to us by people we do or do not know. And so at the root of fairness seems to be this bound nature to interacting with somebody else. You can't have a fair thing happen by yourself, maybe. I mean, I guess you can be fair to yourself and unfair to yourself, so, you know, maybe not. You know, we totally can be fair or unfair to ourselves with our self-talk. If you're beating yourself up inside right now and if you're saying nasty things to yourself, that's unfair. That's not fair to you or to anybody you're with, because that's hurting you, you know? So be fair to yourself. If you can do it, if you can be fair to anybody, start there. You know, so it's something often that's happening to me, like this sense of I that's behind the ego cloud or all of the intellect that's picking up knowledge bits that I'm thinking about. There's this observer that's seeing all this shit happen. And so there's something happening to the observer, and there seems to be this weight of good or bad that could be attached to this happening that is happening to the observer by thought or by action. And so when a happening happens, I know that's kind of funny, a happening happening, you know, but happenings happen one at a time. Oh my God, I'm stuttering now. So happenings happen one at a time. Each moment, each frame on the film reel is a happening, and happenings continuously come every single minute. Bam, bam, this is a happening. Every single syllable I say is a separate moment and a separate happening. So is a happening good or bad intrinsically? If it's constantly happening, the happening will continue to flourish, and just like, it's like one of those mind illusions where you see the staircase that just keeps going on and on and on. You know, I'm not sure if there's an end to this or if there was a beginning, but right now all I do know is that things keep happening. It's happening right now. Watch it. Look out the window. Well, don't. See, if you're driving, please stare straight ahead. If you're walking, look, whatever. You know, so it's not good or bad that things are happening. And so this observer is fed information by, and I hesitate to say the ego, but this sense of righteousness that is a protective and a defensive element. You know, this is a shield that I think is good natured at the heart, but it turns green with jealousy if it doesn't interact right. You know, this piece of me, you know, and I assume other people other than me. And so this protective element harnesses with a net this happening, and it goes, oh fuck, here's a moment. And it goes, has it this split second to say, yeah, I like this, or no, I don't like this, you know? Like, and that's a judgment. We're judging moments when we apply the characteristic of good or bad to a happening, which is intrinsically immaterial. And it's just going to continue happening whether we're here or not. And was probably here long before humans. This happening shit. It just keeps happening. Have I said it enough times? Anyways. So what are we comparing it to? What are we, this judge within us, this Midas, when a happening comes in, what are we comparing it to? Do we have an expectation possibly on what we think is going to happen, or why or how it should happen? And is there a distance between the expectations and the happenings? And is the judge parcel piece, is it sitting within the space and casting judgment, you know, forecasting these expectations of a way? I'm not sure if it's my way, not the observer's way. You know, it's just a way that seems to be this unconscious mechanism that gauges how I feel about a moment. And this forecasting, I'm not a fortune teller. I don't think anybody is a fortune teller. You know, I don't think anybody can really tell the future. Not fucking Nostradamus, and not the crazy lady with 45 cats and crystal balls that lives in the really shady house that's painted dark red with white fucking picket fences, and the really shitty van. And, you know, like, I got really far down a rabbit hole there. But still, fortune tellers wig me the fuck out, you know? And I don't trust them. Why would I trust a piece of me that thinks it can tell the future? And every time we form an expectation about what should happen before it's happened, instead of just embracing the happening and saying, oh, fuck yeah, here's my happening. Oh, it's kind of cool when you sit in the moment and you notice things just continuously come. And it's beautiful, this essence, this forward momentum of life. It's very pretty when we don't cast judgment. You know, and back to the scale, I think that's the Goldilocks zone, is not casting judgment. Being able to take on happenings no matter how they are and saying, oh, okay, this isn't fair. This isn't unfair. This just fucking happened. My car broke down. The world's not fucking me over. I can't say that the world's being unfair. I can't say that I am being unfair for any excuse I come up with for why it happened, why my car broke down. My car breaks down. Okay. You know, and I know this is probably an old trope that I brought up before, but not casting judgment on that moment, not saying it's fair or unfair. How could I ever know what's going to happen? How could you? Do you really think you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Maybe you have a pretty good idea because you have routine and you have habit. I know I have a very strong habit and a very strong routine structure in my life, but I can't tell exactly what's going to happen in each of those singular moments, which happen a trillion, quadrillion, bazillion. I don't know how you would even cut up how long is a moment. I mean, I've heard some people say that our attention span is about 10 seconds. So every 10 seconds you shift into a new attention space, kind of. And that's never made sense to me because I don't feel that shift. You know, when I'm in a work zone, which not work like work for money, but when I'm writing, when I'm taking notes, when I'm reading, when I'm focusing on something good for me, and that might be at work, that might be cooking. But when I'm in that space of zone, it just continues to happen. A fair moment feels good. I think I've said that. I get my way selfishly because I think I'm a fortune teller or a forecaster, right? And it pays off in a way where it seems to work out. A fair moment benefits, but it also continues to lead back to those same expectations, that same fortune telling bullshit in my mind. An unfair moment is the inverse of that. It feels bad. It seems to get in my way. It has a cost. Something's cost you. If your car breaks down, that's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you cortisol and fucking peace of mind knowing how you're going to get the fuck around. That's costly. An unfair moment seems to be costly. And when it's emotional and you lose a friend, there is much more abstract costs to that are a little bit harder to peg down. That's not a dollar amount. You know, you have a scar on your inside when you hurt somebody or when you get hurt by somebody, you know? Lines, standing in lines. When somebody skips you in line, there's this unspoken, it doesn't have to be a law, like don't murder somebody. It's not something that's super obvious, but if you cut somebody in line or if you pull some shit, people get mad incredibly quickly. You know, and we sit in lines in cars all the time. So I was going to pick up my son from his elementary school the other day. And I don't know if any of you are parents. I assume some of you are. But that's hell, getting your children out of the elementary school space after school. And it all happens in 15 minutes. And they have hundreds of kids going out to their... And it's just... His school is right in the middle of like suburbia too. So there's people's houses that we're parking in front of. And so everybody's mad. Everybody's trying to get home. And it's just, you know, a debacle to say the least. And so I've been waiting in line for fucking 20 minutes or not 20 minutes, obviously, but I got there before the school started, you know, and then they dish out at 3:30 and then by 3:45, you know, all the kids are gone. I've been there since like 3:20. And so I'm waiting in line, got a better spot, and I roll up and this guy in like, I think it was like a burgundy fucking CRV kind of thingy. And dude just hopped right in line, right in a space in front of probably 30 people, right into the beginning of the parking lot, where they got their kid in like 30 seconds. Didn't wait at all. Just drove up and took their kid, went out. Didn't even bat a fucking eyelid. And I've seen this probably happen two or three times where I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, do you feel good about yourself? And that's my judge again going, oh, this is unfair, right? And I guess it'd be a lot less costly to my stress if I just go, oh shit, well, it doesn't really add any more time physically. You know, it's unfair that he didn't have to wait as long as me. But it's not like I had to wait that much longer because this person hopped in line, you know? Like, it's not a real physical pain, but it pisses you off when you feel that unfairness. And these are unspoken rules. There's no fucking guardsmen making sure people don't cut lines. You can't go to jail for cutting lines. You know, I don't think so. You know, like, at the end of the day, though, when you're not interacting with people and life feels very unfair, is the world reality, or even if you have a god, would this immaterial or godly entity, could it really be capable of being unfair to you if it's just the manifestment of this reality? And if you do really think life is unfair, isn't that kind of a really shitty outlook? I'm not trying to judge you. You know, I judge myself because I've done it. But I feel like being spurned by the immaterial is such a ludicrous notion. It's like, it reminds me of being a kid and stubbing my toe and then getting mad at the chair. Like, that's, and then I've seen parents teach it that way to their kids, like, where they'll use that as a displacement when their kid hits their foot. They're like, hey, go get bad chair. How could you hit her? And that's so fucking stupid. Like, it doesn't seem like a good idea to me. I'm not trying to judge, even though I'm being very judgmental. Yeah. Moving along. So, I had this really interesting conversation with this guy online. I was thinking about reading off text, and maybe, no, I'm not even going to go there. But fucking, he was like, you know, I think most people want to do good by other people. And when they, at least the way that they're viewed by society, when that drops, it feels very uncomfortable. So most people are motivated to be better because they want to feel good about being better for themselves. Like, it's this intrinsic cycle. And he's like, I know that's very optimistic. And I get called an optimist all the time. And so I happen to agree with him, where I would think that people want to be thought of highly, and it's uncomfortable. You almost feel shame when you miss that mark. Whoever sets the mark, if we set the mark, or if we're following our own limits, or if it's the limits set by the people around us in unspoken or spoken ways, where you have real world ramifications like jail time versus just shunning. If you shun somebody, you know, I think shunning could be incredibly damaging to people's mental way of themselves. And I don't think it helps them get better. You know, talking helps things get better, you know. Owning things helps things get better. And if you're shunning somebody, it doesn't help the atmosphere. It just moves time along further. Like, the punishment doesn't make them a better person, you know? So I would like to think I set my own limits, but I'm not quite sure. And he also brought up this other term he called, he basically said that there's a separation between equity and equality. And he had this huge dialogue or monologue about how there's a complex way that we perceive relationships in the world. We don't know how many events led up to something happening, if people have traumas or different opinions about things or how they were raised. And so every single person we interact with is different, and there's a myriad ways of how we approach people differently. And I would happen to think, not quite sure if he meant this, but I feel this off of his words, that equality seems to be an oxymoron, and that you really can't really sustain a pure equality for everybody of fairness. There's no rule book or law book that could adequately protect everybody equally, you know. But equity brings up in my mind the idea of investment, you know, equity in banking, like, and it's a connotation, not the actual dictionary definition. So a connotation is just a feeling it leads to you, but it's not actually in the definition. So if you have a feeling about a word, somebody else might not have that feeling about the word. And so different people could have different connotations. But when I hear equity, it brings up the idea of investment. And investment requires a whole bunch of complex factors, and you have a whole bunch of different assets. And so kind of like how every single person in your life, you do different things for different people in different ways. You perform different roles for other people in different ways. Like within family seems to be the step up from, you know, your work group. You know, your real friends are different than the people you're friendly with at work, but you never hang out with them, you know. And then the love you have for different family members, your mom, you might be closer to your mom than your dad, or your dad than your mom. And as a father, the love you have for your children is powerful. And that's one of the things I said, is that there's very few things I would not do for my son, but there's a lot of things I wouldn't do for most of the world. in a selfish way, you know, just because I simply don't have time to go give my back and give my skin off my back and feed everybody. Nobody can feed everybody. We can try to help the people that we can help in these moments and in these happenings. But my son, I would do anything for my son, you know, like, so there is this, these shades of how we treat people differently was, I think, the essence of what he was saying. And this was in response. This was his answer to my response about what fairness was. You know, and fuck it. I think I might. I'll read the first couple just because I thought they were good. And I'm not going to say his name. But I thought these were valuable. So my question was, what is fair? And he says, S says, holding someone to a higher standard than you hold yourself to is unfair. Unspoken expectations are unfair. Taking advantage of someone's kindness is unfair. Breaking someone's confidence is unfair. To which I replied, so is there a separation between a person's intentions and the other's expectations for treatment? And S says, I believe the separation, or lack of, can be measured by the quality of transparent communication, or lack of. Oftentimes, intentions lay between habit and integrity. The receiver makes the determination as to where the actions lay based on many life factors. And I said, a very, very complex web of interactions and relations leading up to any moment or happening indeed. Which way would you personally practice to be as fair as possible with the people in your life? Are there sometimes conflicts of interest that may be fair for one individual is unfair for another, inconsolably even? Compromise is ideal, yet can you think of moments where a compromise may be impossible? And I said, wow, great questions. Once we start peeling back layers of relationships, this is far where we would be wise to clarify the types of relationships we're talking about. The relational equity in one's family may be high or low. Likewise, in work or friendships, it will vary. I believe that most people want to be thought of as highly. While this is selfish, it also drives positive action. I choose to believe the best about people. Even if someone screws up, I want to approach the situation as a helper, not an accuser. Life is hard. People are struggling with things we know nothing about. Trauma, insecurity, shame, guilt, regrets. I found that a little grace, a little empathy, and a little encouragement goes miles. People want to come through. Believe the best of others, especially those you want to love forever. Fairness doesn't look the same for everyone. That is equity, not equality. The depth of this relationship is a big factor in determining the compromise or grace shown when the ball is dropped. Psh, fucking, what a badass. Like, for fucking real. I thought, like, I'm talking about him now on my show. I was moved by this conversation. Cobbled web of connections and nodes. Every happening seems to be like these nodes, and then we make relationships between what happens and how our expectations, like, we build these webs of relational ideas, and a lot of these are bound to real world events where we're interacting with actual people. And so it's almost impossible to interpret or even to know every single turn of your own personal web that you've built within yourself subconsciously. But it's good to at least try to look at the nodes that are very prevalent and try to at least analyze, almost in a scientific mindset, how and why. You know? I don't know. I'm really not sure. So let's start putting a bow on this package. My last little bit tonight, I'm going to call questions to myself. How can I be fair as a father, even within these abstract systems of fairness and unfairness and whether or not I believe they're right or wrong, in my own little ethical world and how I grade myself and how I conduct myself? Because I have a huge guilt complex, and when I don't hit the mark that I know that I wanted to give somebody my full attention, or if I said something I didn't give them the love that I should have given them, I feel awful. You know, so I have a strong ethical system that I feel I built and that I adhere to, and I want to be fair within my own system. And so how can I be the fairest father I can be? If you want to email me anything that you think about how you could be fair as a parent, you can email me at brandonwvogt@gmail.com, and we can have a discussion and a conversation about it. Maybe you can help teach me something about how I can be more fair. Maybe we can become fairer together. So the roles you play as a parent is so strange, you know, because you have this little subhuman that is insane, that is incapable of really taking care of themselves or even getting a fucking bowl of cereal together, you know. So you have to be dad or mom. You have to be able to take care. You have to be able to provide and to sustain. And so that immediately has this implication of authority, and you have to be an authority to your child. And, you know, the opposite of that would be like laissez-faire parenting. You know, we all know the people who don't watch their kids, who are just carrying around like fucking 10 pounds of piss in their diaper at the age of 5. Not to judge. I'm such a judgmental bastard. But so laissez-faire, nobody gives a shit. Authoritarian is like hardcore deadhead. Not deadhead. I don't know why I said deadhead. Deadheads were very peaceful hippies. Hard authoritarian dictators, right? To their children. And of course, I think the middle, which is very difficult to find. It's the hardest fucking sweet spot to find in the fucking world. I don't think I've ever been in that pocket yet. And I switch between being too easy and too hard. You know, I've been very hard and I've been very easy. And it's probably fucking with his head more than anything, because I can't figure my shit out. But, you know, the idea is to be able to be an authority with compassion and be able to, yeah. Anyway, so point number one, how can I be the fairest father that I can possibly be? Point number one, listen. Listen to my kid. Listen to our kids. These are little humans. They might be insane. They might be brain damaged. They might be on the way and they don't have all their working pieces in order to get, but they're forming their realities every single day. And that's so heavy, you know, and listening to their opinion, listening to them is one of the fairest things we can do, is to let them even shade an opinion on something, or at least say something that you might think is stupid and be like, okay, that's cool. Nice job using that noggin. Keep it up. You know, listen to our kids, let them talk, you know. Point number two, give choice, right? Not too complex choice, not 1 million options. Don't give them the DirecTV directory and tell them to pick something, you know. But, you know, especially for younger kids, just giving them two options between two healthy options for food, you know, give them the illusion of control, which it is control because they're choosing something simple, simple choices. You know, and I believe that this leads to anxiety in us adults. I think a lot of us are paralyzed by this choice. Like, having so many options is fucking terrifying, because we are constantly assaulted with this need to make a choice. And that costs energy. Every choice we have depletes this choice tank of gasoline, you know. And I get tired when I've had to make a bunch of choices. When you have a big day, when you have to buy something really expensive and important for that's going to affect you for several months or years, you know, that choice fucking is stressful. So giving our children's choice is not only fair, but it's training them how to simplify things. And if you give them simple choices, they're going to make things into simple options when they grow up. And I think it leads to less anxiety. At least it's a personal test I'm trying with my own son. And point number three, give opportunity. Don't stand in the way of things you don't understand. Like, shit is going to keep changing, and I don't understand what the kids are watching, what the kids are listening to. I have teenage sisters and I don't get it. My son is going to get into a bunch of shit that I do not understand. And some of the times there could be hidden opportunity that we do not see. And it's always very important to just have that door of opportunity open. And that sometimes that means not doing a thing and not standing in the way, not giving an opinion. You know, and also not giving preferential treatment to, you know, one's own time, my own time, over our children's time. A lot of the time I feel chagrined. I feel like life is unfair because my son happens to be wanting attention when I'm trying to relax or calm down because I've been working my ass off all day and I'm a single dad. But even at the end of the day, my time is no more important than his. And I wouldn't say in a way, his, especially this moment, his time I feel should be more important than mine. That's how I should weigh it out. You know, but everybody's time should be equally important, you know. And so the action of giving opportunity to our children also means, you know, not being a selfish person. Yeah, me is who I'm talking to. talking to a couple of people to, over this last week. I tried to, you know, just have a lot of conversations in my daily life to prep for this and to try to get opinions. And I think I did a good job. I hope I did a good job at putting together a whole bunch of different ideas. These are not fully my own creations. I am so grateful for every person who talks to me and who we have to have this feedback loop where we can start to investigate and figure this shit out. It's so important to have open discourse. And a couple of the things, a lot of people cracked me up. I posted a question on social media. I said, what is fair? And one of my friends was like, oh, you know, it's a place where you get shitty corn dogs and you have rides by meth heads with no teeth or something like that on unguaranteed safety-less rides or something. I don't know, I'd butcher that one. But, you know, and I was like, oh, that sounds like a real moment. And he's like, no, it's a fair. Have you ever been to a fair, Brandon? And I was like, oh shit. I didn't even see the pun right in front of me. And the comedic value is lost because I'm so dense and I didn't even see it. And I love wordplay. I love puns. And, you know, I was so ignorant. And I was like, I'm ashamed of myself, my friend. I'm sorry. And then I asked my teacher last night, you know, what is fair? And he said, light colored skin, light colored hair, you know, fair skin, fair hair. And I was like, oh no, but that is another way. So always remember when we're trying to use words with other people that, especially in my home language of English, it's very easy to have multiple meanings for things that phonetically sound the exact same, and to always be open-minded that you could be misinterpreting somebody, because I thought that shit was fucking hilarious. Two other things. Sorry, I'm just going to keep adding shit on. I checked my analytics and I found out that about 20% of my listening base is from Poland. I don't know many things about Poland, but you Polish listeners, thank you. Thank you so much. If you want to have some sort of discourse, you can find me on Facebook at The Gingerbread Man. I have a Facebook page and we can talk. You can message me there, or you can email me to my direct personal email, which I put on here all the time. And I know that feels kind of risky, but fuck it. You know, email me and we can have a talk. You know, I would love to hear about Poland. I also have listeners from the UK, which I am not going to try to butcher your beautiful accent. But cool. Let's talk. I would love to have a pen pal from across the pond. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for you listening. Thank you. And also Canada, which is pretty cool. You know, hi Canadians. I love your TV shows like Letterkenny and Corner Shop and Trailer Park Boys. I guess I don't really know much about Canada either. So if you want to illuminate me on the fascinating things about your place of origin, I would love to do that. That sounds so cool. And of course, all of my listeners that I know, I guess what shocked me so much is I would have thought that most of the people listening were people that I actually knew. And the notion that at least half of my listeners are strangers or people from other countries just blew my mind, and it made me feel giddy. And I'm so grateful that I have your ears. So thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My end segments for these solitary shows I'm about to introduce, I'm going to have Odin, my son, on. I'm going to ask him a question that pertains to the episode, which today is fairness. He's a goofball, but I want to start this out by saying that I know that I do smoke on the show often, but this was a separate bit, and I didn't even smoke on this one because I want it to be very obvious. You know, I keep my medicine in a lockbox. It's always very far away from my child. It's not accessible, and, you know, I'm a very good, safe parent. And so So I hope you enjoy this. I call it Ask O. So if you guys have any ideas on questions that you want to hear Odin answer, you know, email me or message me at The Gingerbread Man. I'm going to start getting some more pages open soon. And just, go be curious. Go be as fair as you can be, but be fair to your own structure and your own idea of fairness, not to somebody else's. Because how fair is that? Yeah. Have a wonderful night or day or morning or whatever. Yeah. Bye. I'm going to introduce to you somebody who's very special to me. We're going to be doing these at the end of the episodes, and I'm going to call it Ask O. How does that sound? So why don't you introduce yourself?
My name is Odin.
Cool. And you are my son, right?
Hey, Dad, can I tell you something?
What?
I want to tell What's my superpower I can do?
Okay, let's go.
My superpower is I can do is play, color, and that's it.
Well, that's super cool. Those are awesome superpowers.
Let my dad say what's his superpower. What's your superpower, Dad?
I don't know. What you tell me, what's my superpower?
My dad's superpower is cooking.
Really?
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I think everybody else hears you loud and clear, too. Isn't that kind of cool?
Mm-hmm.
So here's my question for you today, Mr. O. My question for you is, what does fair mean?
I don't know.
What's the word fair mean? What does fair mean to you? You can tell me a story if you want.
It actually sounds like hair.
It does sound like hair. It definitely rhymes with hair, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And stare. And care. Whole bunch of words.
Yeah.
But what does the word mean to you? How do you treat somebody fairly?
I keep somebody happy, not crying.
Oh, so when somebody's unfair to you, that makes you want to cry?
No, I'm here to stop people from crying.
Okay. That sounds like a superpower, too, if you ask me. Thank you for being on my show, Mr. O. I appreciate you. Okay? All right. I love you. You want to say bye-bye to everybody?
Bye!